You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Dog Pound, don't miss a live 30-minute looking at Cleveland Browns mini camp practice tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. exclusively on the Browns mobile app and clevelandbrowns.com. Now let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, with his post-practice presser after the first day of mandatory mini camp.
No, he showed up here with an injury, so we obviously held him out. I mean, it's disappointing when a guy's not here to show up with something. We were going to be very careful anyway, just like we are with Danny. You just don't have an assessment when the guy's not here and you know, with your trainers and with your strength and conditioning. So we were going to go at a very slow pace, but you know, it's unfortunate that he showed up here with an injury.
Can you say anything about what it is?
Yeah, it's a hamstring.
Hey, Mike, we didn't see Xavier Cooper out there.
Yeah, he was sick this morning, so they held him in the training room. Just didn't want to have him around the other guys. I don't know whether it's hopefully just a 24-hour bug. Hopefully we can get some fluids in him and hope he should be out here tomorrow. No, he did some teamwork today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is not the CFL.
back to Gibson. Just to clarify, he had no surgical procedure on that knee in the offseason. Is that correct? Or was there something after the Pro Bowl that he did?
No, to my knowledge, he did not.
Mike, how was Danny Shelton from a playbook standpoint and a conditioning standpoint coming back?
Well, I just think he's a little bit behind from a conditioning standpoint. Just there's really no way to simulate what our guys have been doing out here for all this period of time, which is unfortunate just the way the rules are. So that's why we just want to be cautious with him. From a playbook standpoint, I think we feel good about where he is. We'll know a little bit more when we get him after meetings and like in the walkthrough this afternoon, kind of get him out there and test him just to kind of see where he is. It's one thing to kind of have it and to go through it, but to be in it, immersed in it every day and hear the other guys at your position getting corrections and you just kind of learning naturally that way. But he's a bright kid. We don't think there's going to be any issues with him from a mental standpoint picking up the playbook.
Hey, Mike, it looked like at the end there, Johnny Manziel fumbled three times. Was that bad exchanges or what happened?
Yeah, I got to see it. I know some of those gun snaps were low, so I'll have to see the tape and just see what Kevin and Flip have to say. I wasn't. Usually, my eyes are elsewhere than the snap.
Can you just get your take? We talked to Anthony Weaver last week about Shelton, the really slow 40 time, and just on tape, it doesn't come into play. Just your take on 40 time as it relates to that position.
Yeah, I mean, this was discussed around the draft too. I don't think it's as important. There's some importance to it, but we rely so much on the tape, and I just think if you ask people, watch his film and tell me what you think he runs, I don't think too many people would have said, wow, he looks really slow on tape. So, you know, the time speed is one thing. Sometimes it's guys' technique running the 40. If they don't start well, I don't want to sit here and critique his 40, but just he jumped off his college tape as being a dominant nose. We don't want to overthink things. You put some validity to it, some credence to it, but I think it's at that position, it's not nearly as much.
Mike, it looked like Josh hit on several deep balls today. Is that something that you've seen throughout the offseason and something that you like about him?
Yeah, I mean, he can throw the deep ball. I think offensively we came out just a little bit more of a concerted effort to push the ball down the field. I think defensively had kind of gotten into a rhythm of sitting on a lot of routes, and I think the offensive guys just coming out of last week's tape study felt, hey, they're probably ripe for some double moves or for some throws down the field. So it was nice to see, especially on a windy day like this, that those guys execute.
And as we're getting ready to wrap up the offseason, Josh still obviously the number one, and you're not going to talk about any kind of quarterback competition?
No, as of now, we told the guys that the way this week played out, the coaches were going to meet at the end of the week and meet with Ray's group and discuss every player on the roster and just come up with the repetition plan for training camp. Okay, this guy's going to be with the ones, the twos, the threes. This guy's been with the twos. We're going to cross-train. I mean, all the kind of the battle plan for everybody, repetitions, what groups are going to work with, and quarterback will be no different. But I don't foresee between now and then anything changing. No, I don't think there was ever a focus for him. I mean, we want him to be a complete linebacker. That he's, you know, if they run it, stop the run. If they throw it, execute your coverage. So I think the big part for him this offseason was really to get back and to study the tape from last year. I think some of the issues we had were simpler things, more alignment than they were necessarily. So that's been a real big point of emphasis with him this offseason is his alignments within the defense, kind of knowing where his help was and knowing if he could overplay one side or the other. And I think that just comes with time. I think he's done a real good job understanding it, and I know that's been a big part overall defensively. We went back and looked at last year that we kind of gave up some things based on how we lined up, and we want to make sure that we get those things cleaned up.
How did you think he performed in his first year? I know he missed a couple games, obviously, with injury, but where was he before the injury?
He was playing well. There was some, just like most of the guys, that there was, you know, some games that there was some consistency issues, but we were very pleased with how he played for the most part. And just knowing the nice part about this now is a lot of the stuff we feel is easy to get cleaned up, and he'll be that much better in year two. When it's doing what he's doing, you know, taking it one day at a time, coming in here, putting the work in, buying into what we're doing, buying into the coaching. I mean, he's being coached hard, and we're asking a lot of him. It's every quarterback in the room, and hopefully it's every player on this roster, that we want all our guys to come in here and buy in to what we're asking them to do, not just in the meeting room, but in the weight room. And you know, it's being the total package, that you can't just turn it on during practice. And we stress that to all of our guys about being a pro and getting your sleep and making sure you're hydrated and making sure you're eating right, all those things. So he's no different, and I don't want to treat him any different. But it's early, but as I've said before, it's so far so good, and just time will tell. And you know, training camp's going to be real important for him, but I think he's in a good place and you know, headed that way.
Mike,
yeah, that's a concern, and he and I have talked, and as always, our conversations will remain private. But that's something that you certainly can't ignore. Any NFL player has that pressure, and when you come into the league with the reputation that he had, and go through what he went through, that's going to happen. I know he's a very polarizing figure. People either want him to succeed in a big way or want him to fail in a big way. And that adds to the pressure that he's under.
Mike, in regards to Tayshaun Gibson, Jordan Poyer has had a really nice offseason. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about him coming in here, Tayshaun with the hamstring, and now you guys are going to sit down and do your who's getting the first team reps, do you think at this point, since Tayshaun already had so much catching up to do, that
No, it's a possibility, but we haven't had those discussions yet. But we'll take everything into account. We're not going to punish a guy over a contract issue, but it's still a real issue when you're talking about a guy taking care of his body. He needs to show up for training camp ready to go, just like 89 other guys are going to have to do.
And Tayshaun, would you have expected that he would have come in here like ready to run through a wall?
I hadn't given it that much thought. It's, I know it's a coaching cliche that we only worry about the guys that are here, but that's the truth.
I thought that players can only participate in minicamp with a contract. So if that's the case, is Duke Johnson under contract?
Is Duke Johnson under contract?
Not
that I know of. I think he's one of the few.
Training camp.
He's one of the few unsigned rookies, but I don't think it pertains to the mandatory minicamp. I don't think so. Hope not.
Is there anything that, after looking at last year's mandatory minicamp, that you hope to accomplish this year? Anything different in your approach or anything? You know, this is what I want to get done in these 3 days.
No, the biggest thing for us is, and I stressed it in the meeting, is that everybody needed to set something personal to get done this week. Yeah, it's like the last week of school. You got that vacation staring at you, but hey, there's still some work left to be done. And that's the sign of a good football team, a mature football team, guys that can go out. And yeah, I know we got a break coming up soon, but there's work left to be done. And I challenged everybody to pick out something personally, because everybody's at a different stage right now. You got Danny Shelton. You know, his biggest worry might be, you know, finding the training room and finding the weight room and finding the cafeteria. Whereas guys are all or a veteran player who feels good about the system and where they are, there might be some graduate level details that he wants to get cleaned up. So I challenged, you know, the coaching staff to make sure that we over informed our guys, we over communicated it. Hey, this is what we want to get done this week as a position group, and this is what I want to get done this week individually.
No.
There was communication, I'm sure, with the position coaches. That was a big part of, you know, just goal setting and just so guys know where they stand and kind of know what their role is, how we see them and how they see themselves.
Two more, we're going
to
wrap.
Any of the guys on the bike, long-term things that might linger in the training camp?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't have the bike list in front
like
of me.
Phil and anybody? Trey. I guess Cam Irving.
No,
Phil.
Cam will be fine. I think those guys should all be good to go. Armani, we got him a little bit of work today in the 7-on-7. That he's a guy that will probably take it easy with him. Tremont should not be an issue.
And Mike, it was the first time we saw Alex Mack in team drills.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the plan, just to increase the workload and
It was. We wanted to make sure we got him some reps. A little different than Brian a year ago at the quarterback spot, trying to simulate some team reps that we wanted to make sure that he had full clearance to go. It would be difficult to kind of do that with the center. He's been one that he's been very anxious to get out there and take some reps. And it was a good start today. We just need to be smart with it. We'll see how he feels and if he's ready to ramp those reps up or keep them the same tomorrow.
That was the head coach of Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, talking about Alex Mack making his return today. Danny Shelton, Tashawn Gibson, lots of returns today for the Cleveland Browns. We'll be back wrapping things up for us. Cleveland Cavaliers tonight at the Q, fighting for their season lives on the line against the Warriors, trying to force a Game 7 back in Oakland. We'll call our shots. Last chance to call yours, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. My heart up.